with his store-bought glasses. I am afraid to go further. But it's okay now? Okay. Rahab. I love this story. And we talk about her quite a bit. But we're going to look at her tonight. Her story begins for us in the book of Joshua chapter 2. And we're going to look at her in connection with this salvation that we have by faith. Because this is such an important story, and it so well illustrates exactly what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and brought about the salvation that we have. And she will be talked about when we come to the book of James and other places. We will, and the book of Hebrews. And we will look at those as we go through. Rahab, there are actually two listings for Rahab. There is a sea monster that's talked about a couple of times in the book of Job, and that's mentioned in the book of Psalms. Not that this lady is a sea monster, but and it's a different spelling, but our English translations have chosen to spell them the same way. In talking about the sea monster and then also talking about this woman. Her story is in Joshua chapter 2. And from Joshua chapter 2, we finish out the story in Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, verses 22 through 25. So here it is. You can follow along with me if you would like, but this is what is happening. It's interesting. It's about this season of the year. It's about March, April, somewhere along that line. And the reason we know that is for three different reasons. One, it'll be an incidental thing that is mentioned to us when the spies are hidden by Rahab. And she hid them under the flaxseed that had been cut that was on her roof. That's harvest time for flaxseed this time of year. It also mentions that the river of the Jordan River is in flood stage. And that generally happens this time of year. And the third, and the one that's probably the most important, is the Passover. In this event, or in this context, the Passover is celebrated by the children of Israel. And that's always at this time of year. And so we know it's about the kind same time or season of year that we are in. And it's springtime, and it's time for the kings to go to war, as it will be mentioned later on. And the children of Israel are about to go to war. They are on the other side of the Jordan River, and there they have camped. And Joshua sends two men across the Jordan River to go in and to look at the land, especially the city of Jericho. So the two men go, and when they come across and go into the city of Jericho, they go to the house of a woman by the name of Rahab, who is a harlot. And the Bible will tell us that their entrance into the city and their entrance into Rahab's house is not a secret. It is seen, it is known, and it's reported to the king. And so the king sends messengers to Rahab saying, "We have been told that men of Israel have come to you and that they have come into your house. We want you to bring those men of Israel out to us." And Rahab replies to the king in essence by saying, "It is right, they came here, but they have left. And I am not sure which way they have gone. But if you hurry, I'm sure that you could catch them before they cross the Jordan River." And so men are sent in pursuit of the spies, but they haven't gone anywhere. They are on her roof. And she has hidden them under the flaxseed that she has cut. So she goes up to the men and she begins to have a conversation with them. And this is where we see some important things. Some important things regarding her faith and some important things regarding the lack of faith of those that are around her. And if you want to read with me, I'm going to read a couple of verses, and they're going to start in verse 8. And this is the conversation that she has with the two spies that have come to her house and are in, or rather under the flax in her roof. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. So the information she has that she's now passing on about what she knows, everybody knows. All of the land of Canaan knows it. And all of the city of Jericho knows it. And she's about to tell us exactly what she knows. For we have heard, not I have heard, this is no secret. All of the people in the land know it. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, please swear to me by the Lord. And she makes a request. Save me and all of my family. My father and his family, my sisters, and all that belong to them, and save every single one of us. And the spies tell her, we will do that if you do not tell our business. If you do not tell that we were here, what we were here for, if you keep that quiet, then we will do that for you. And she ties a rope to her window because her window is built along the wall. The wall is very soon to come down, except possibly for this section. But the wall is soon about to come down. She lives on it, attached to it. She ties a rope in her window and lets the men down. And as they start going down, they say to her, make sure everybody comes to your house and stays here. Because if anyone goes out of your house into the streets, we are free from the pledge that we've made to you. But if they stay in your house, then their blood will be upon our heads, and they will all be rescued. And that is our pledge to you. And so that we will know, tie this scarlet thread in this window and leave it here, and all who are in this house will be saved. Now, isn't it interesting how we've been introduced, as we've come this far in Bible reading, to different places of safety provided by God? There's the ark. There's the house in which the blood of the lamb has been placed on the doorpost and on the lintel. And now there's a scarlet thread that marks the window of a house in the city of Jericho. And whoever is in that house will be saved. She tells the spies, go to the hills and wait for 3 days. After 3 days, those that are looking for you won't be looking for you anymore. They'll come back. Then it'll be safe for you to go to the Jordan River and cross the fords, the shallow places, because the Jordan is in flood stage. And you'll be able to get safely back across to the children of Israel. The spies do that. As soon as they climb down from the window, she ties the cord in the window. And the spies make their way back to Joshua. And they report to Joshua everything that's been said. And Joshua rejoices and says, God has truly put this city into our hands. A lot of things happen between chapter 2 and chapter 6. First of all, they're on the other side of a flooded Jordan, away from the city of Jericho, having the flooded Jordan River separating them from the city of Jericho. But the first thing that is done is that Joshua has all of the children of Israel to get ready. And they are going to again see the glory of God. And they are going over the Jordan River to the area around Jericho. And the priests are to lead the way, and they have the ark on their shoulders, and as soon as their feet touch the Jordan River, it doesn't divide like it did with the Red Sea, but instead, upstream from them, God holds it still, so that it backs up as if God had created an invisible dam, so that the floods waters of the Jordan River are upstream and everything downstream dries out. And the children of Israel cross over the Jordan River on dry ground. But can you imagine the announcement that such an event made to Jericho? And the announcement that such an event made to all of the people of Canaan? Because it was there for all of them to see. And it was almost as if God is saying, here I come, and there's nothing you can do about it. And God was surely coming. And so the children of Israel cross over the Jordan River, but then Joshua has them to go back into the river and pick out 12 stones, and those are set up as a monument on the other side of the Jordan River as a reminder of them crossing the Jordan River. Now then, they are in enemy territory, so to speak. But where have they not been in enemy territory? Even while they were in the land of Egypt. But they have now crossed the Jordan River, and they are now on the side of the river with Jericho. And some interesting things happen. First of all, no male child who had been born since they left Egypt had been circumcised. So all the nation who had not been circumcised are now circumcised. And they wait until they are well. And then they celebrate the Passover. And they celebrate the feast of the Passover. And the day after they've celebrated the feast of the Passover, they eat the produce or the food of the land. And because it's the week of unleavened bread, they make unleavened cakes out of the seeds of grain that they find on the other side. And on that day, after the Passover, the manna stops. And the manna never comes again, because they are no longer in need of it. And after all of these events have taken place, now they go to the city of Jericho. And here, Joshua tells the two spies to go get Rahab and her family after the walls have fallen down, and to get all that are in her house and bring them to safety. And the Bible will tell us that Rahab lives the rest of her life with the nation of Israel. But we're not done with her. If you turn to another passage, and it's in the book of Ruth, the close proximity of Joshua, because the book of Joshua tells about Joshua's conquest, and then after he dies, then we have the judges. And in the days of the judges, we have Ruth. And at the end of Ruth, in chapter 4, starting with verse 16, we read these words. And I want you to read them with me. And the Bible will tell us this. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Next verse. Now these are the generations of Perez, son of Judah. To Perez was born Hezron. To Hezron was born Ram. And to Ram, Amminadab. And to Amminadab was born Nashon, and to Nashon, Salmon. And to Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz, Obed. And to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse, David. That doesn't really seem to connect until we read Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed was the father of Jesse. Now, I find it so interesting, and I don't know how much to make of it, that in the book of Joshua and in the book of Ruth, we are introduced to both of the great grandmothers of David. And we are introduced to both sides. Naomi being one, and Rahab being the other. Now, have I got it right? Is it great-grandmother or great-great-grandmother? Let's see. Salmon was the man who was married to Rahab. Rahab became an Israelite, and she married a man by the name of Salmon. And he was the father of Boaz, the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer in the book of Ruth. And the story of Ruth is as much about him as it is about Ruth and about Naomi. So here we have Rahab, the mother of Boaz. And Boaz has a son named Obed. And so now Rahab is the grandmother of Obed. And those are born by Ruth. And then Obed becomes the father of Jesse. And so she is the great-grandmother, Rahab and Naomi, the great-grandmother of Jesse. And so they would be the great-great-grandmothers of David. Isn't that interesting? And isn't it interesting that here we have two books that tell us about two grandmothers? But that's not what we're looking at. So we go a little further and we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Why does that name written that way? Why is she called Rahab the harlot? There are some who've tried to make the Old Testament word to be an innkeeper. But when you come to the Greek New Testament, there's no question. It's the Greek word porneia, where we get our word, English word, pornography from. And it's the word for the prostitute, the harlot. By faith, Rahab the porneia, Rahab the harlot, did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. That going along with this written by James. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Again, Rahab the harlot, written by James. And was she not justified by faith in Hebrews and by works in James? And how do those two mesh together? What she had that produced her faith, everybody in Jericho had, but she's the only one who acted on it. And faith that is not acting, faith that is not obeying, faith that is not demonstrating itself, is not genuine faith. And so the two go together. There are two things here, though. Why is she still called Rahab the harlot? But that's not really the most important one, or the one that seems to have the most significance to us today. Because we kind of overlook the idea of Rahab the harlot, but the one that really gets us is, she lied. How can she receive God's blessings when she lied? She didn't tell the truth when she said that those spies had left her house. She didn't tell the truth about where they were. She lied in order to protect them. And how then can she be in this chapter of faith when she lied? We kind of look at Rahab the harlot as being forgiven, but we look at this as she lied, and we wonder about God, and we wonder about the Bible. And we wonder about this truth. And to me, it's the same thing. And I don't see why it takes us such a long time to get it. And I've been in a lot of discussions where we try to make the lie justified. And if we put ourselves in her place and it comes down to saving the lives of individuals or telling something that is not true, we would probably vote to saving the lives of people. But I'm not so sure that's what's happening here. Here's what I think is happening. Who is this woman? She's a woman of faith. What does God promise to people of faith? The people who believe in Him and trust His word and listen to Him and obey Him. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are washed away. Your sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. She has no reason to run from what she used to be. Paul doesn't. Paul will describe himself as a blasphemer who's been forgiven. And he will even condemn other blasphemers and punish them so they will not learn to blaspheme, even though he used to be a blasphemer. But he moved away from it. He was forgiven by it. The blood of Jesus Christ paid for it. And the same is true with Rahab. There is no accuser like the devil who can blackmail her with what she used to be. God's not afraid for people to know what she used to be. God's not afraid for people to know what's been forgiven. God's not afraid for His Holy Spirit to write in the New Testament, Rahab the harlot. Because that's how she's described in the book of Joshua chapter 2. But then God tells us about the faith of this harlot. And He tells us about the faith of so many others in the New Testament who come in contact with Jesus. But the lie is the same. She is a woman of faith. Does she condone lying? No. Will lying then be the natural practice of her life? I very seriously doubt it. But this lie that she told here, God includes because it's part of the truth. But as a woman of faith who puts trust in God, all sins are washed. All sins are forgiven. All sins are taken away. And it does not matter if you and I come to learn about them. We just need to remember what happened to all of those sins when Jesus died on that cross. And thus, Jesus can say to her, as He says to Peter, don't be afraid. And He says it to us, don't be afraid. You just keep believing and keep on believing and trusting and obeying. And you have God's blessed assurance that your sins are washed away and they will be remembered against you no more if you believe Jesus and you put trust in Him. And we have the same blessing that all of these had. What a wonderful Savior. What a blessed assurance. What a hope beyond description. Are you ready to come home to Jesus?